We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to the corner. This is like month number 4 or 5 for us, so you know what the hell is going on here. We're talking about hip-hop, wrestling, boxing, MMA, and this week we're really just kind of winding down because we had the Floyd Mayweather fights, so it's natural that we bring you everything that happened with us there. Andres had a better experience than me because he was a little selfish. You know, he got all the connections.
Yeah.
He was trying to live it up.
Yeah.
I was there doing work.
Yeah.
he's over there, you know, VIP lifestyle. I need to get on your level.
Yeah. I had a good time. Even though, like, the fight, it was weird because I didn't feel any energy for the fight until never.
I thought the fight was good, though. The fight itself was good. It's better than I expected.
That's not saying a whole lot, though.
Hey, it's all in expectations. He didn't dance. He fought a little bit.
Well, he did dance. He danced. He shucked and jived a little bit. Nah. He talked.
He stood in a pocket a little bit. He landed the most punches. It looked like he was hurting Berto a little bit. I like that. It wasn't bad.
It's another one of those things where Berto was clearly outmatched. And after about 4 rounds, Mayweather figured he was outmatched and then kind of toyed with him for 8 rounds. I just wish he would have opened up a little more and tried to get the stoppage. I mean, if anybody, everybody had memes up about Berto's eyes. And I talked about Berto's eyes last week. If he would have landed some more shots, he could have stopped him. Those eyes, they don't last well under punches.
Nah.
So as a whole, I mean, the fight was what we've come to expect out of Floyd Mayweather. A lot of people hated the fight.
I mean, then you went in looking for a knockout or a Triple G style fight. After 48 of these, you'd think you'd be smart enough to know what the hell you're going to get.
Dude, people just don't like Floyd Mayweather style. And that's really all there is to it. They're never going to enjoy Floyd Mayweather style. People just don't like watching people play chess. That's all it is. And I get it. You know, if you want to, the best fights are always between the lowest skilled athletes, right?
Yeah, because they're just throwing and reckless abandon. Right. They don't know how to defend themselves.
Like, we go back to the UFC's fight a couple weeks ago, about a week ago with Francisco Rivera and John Lineker. And that was just two guys just throwing haymakers at each other. And you love that type of stuff. But anything that's with a lot of technique and not a guy who's willing to get hit, because the greatest boxers are the Arturo Gattis, you know, the Mickey Wards, the guys who get hit a lot. Mayweather doesn't get hit. Nobody likes to see that. I enjoy it. I like watching him take people apart.
I like it. It's the good, like, the subtleties of what he does. You can tell that he's thought out the entire game plan like 10 times in his head. He knows what's coming. There was a couple Berto punches where he just saw it coming. I swear he just looked at the fist and was just laughing. Like, ha.
Yeah, it was rough for Berto. Because Berto came in saying that he had this plan, right?
Everybody got a plan.
Yeah, but then you get in the ring and you realize this dude is way faster than you. And you watch some of the punches that Floyd hit him with. I think there was like a left uppercut somewhere in like the 8th round where he slipped the punch, leaned to his side, and threw it for like right under the shoulder and caught Berto clean. And Berto was like, where did that even come from? He couldn't figure it out. But it's so much less to talk about within the fight than it is to talk about Mayweather's career and him retiring and everything else. But I'll talk about my little experience first.
Yes, you do that.
Cause
solo experience.
Well, for those who don't know, if you've never been to a Mayweather fight, Showtime does a red carpet in the back. And that red carpet leads to this private room where they have gourmet food and open bar. And that's where, like, the celebrities go. And that's where, people go to hang out. Shout out to Jennifer Burbank. I have to call her out because, you know, she's looked out. She takes care of me. She gets me back there and I hang out and open bar and some free food. They made us pasta on the spot. They ask you what you want. They cook it up for you. It's delicious.
Back there with Emeril Lagasse and shit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm standing there eating like $18 popcorn in my seat.
Yo, the media food was terrible. It's either when you go to a boxing event where there's Golden Boy at Top Rank, it's either Mexican with those enchiladas or it's Greek food.
Well, Floyd like loves the weird Greek food.
Yeah, I think he has nothing to do with that.
Whoever puts it on for Floyd.
Yeah, but it's that Greek food and it's terrible. Like, I looked at it and I was disappointed. So when I got the call to go to the back, pasta, chicken sliders, gourmet salads, I was like, this is amazing. And you text me, you're like, you're not coming back. And I was like, would you? Like, why would I come back? I caught up with Jasmine Simon, who plays Julie Green in HBO Ballers. We've known each other for years. I hadn't seen her for a while. And Sean Porter's back there, Kenny Porter. Sean's talking about fighting Keith Thurman. Like, we're just, everybody's just in the back cooling out. And then, you know, right before the main event, you go out there and you sit down and get your seat. You got to live that life, Kev.
I'm in my seat the whole time. Look at this guy.
Yo, I disappeared. I was out. Or between the Orlando Salido Rocky Martinez fight, which I watched on the TV in the back, which looked like it was a great fight where Salido should have won the fight. It
was a great fight.
Yeah.
Between your mouth full of gourmet pasta.
I'm just saying, like, there was a DJ.
Alfredo sauce was, all over your face.
Nah, yeah. It was pause. no white cream sauce around a man's face. But, yeah, that if you go to a Mayweather fight and you have the opportunity to experience one of these things, it's, like, better than the fights themselves.
Well, there's no more Mayweather fights, so you had the last hurrah.
Well, there'll be one at the Cotto Canelo fight, and I'll be back there for that one, too.
I need these connections. First off, if people don't know, Andres is now officially bougie. Because last week we talked about brunch.
Yes.
Now he's the only media member in VIP areas.
Hey.
I feel like he's like a solo act now. Like, if we're the Clips, he's Pusha T right now. Like, he's getting real Kanye Hollywood on me.
Yeah.
And I'm just Malice in the background.
Yeah. Go ahead and write a book
about God. It's all bad.
Hey,
like everybody don't want pasta.
I just put in my work. Like, you know, like I had my homegirl Terry Hughes to bring me the fight pack with the popcorn and the soda. She ended up moving to Cali, so she's not a waitress at the MGM no more. It's local people. This Jennifer, actually, when I was promoting a little brother show out here, she used to work with Tash of the Alcoholics, and there's gonna be like some 20-year-olds like, who the hell are the Alcoholics? But Tash the Alcoholic, she brought Tash and Mitchie Slick to the Little Brother show. So we had like Little Brother, Evidence, Mitchie Slick. It was like a great show in Vegas. In LA, it would have been super amazing. In Vegas, it was like 500 people. And we were like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. So we've known each other since then. She's moved on from music, started working in business. She throws these events. She works with like Red Bull. And I happened to see her a couple of years ago. And she was like, hey, I'm doing this now. What are you doing here? I was like, hey, I'm covering fights now. So one thing led to another. She was like, come to the back. And I was like, yes. And I saw the back. That's like,
yo, you crept off. It was so quick, too. Man. I look. So Andres is sitting like one row behind me to my right. So I look back. He's on his phone. I'm like, all right, cool. Chilling. I continue tweeting. I look back again. He's gone. I'm like, okay, people take bathroom breaks. It's right before the co-main. I'm chilling. And I check my Twitter. And I just see him smiling, drinking hand, chilling, plate of food. Like, I'm just like, yo, where'd he get that from?
Things changed.
Then it's just VIP area. I was like, damn, he just up and left. Like, didn't tell nobody.
Got the call, I was out. And, man, you know, people was like, where you going? And the fights get ready to start. I was like, I'll watch it on TV in the back. I'm good. I'm chilling.
He ain't say nothing to me. Like, I'm a row in front of him. Not like, hey, yo, Kel, let me bring you back a slider. Like, nope. I'm sure you're hungry. No, nothing.
Nah, I had to get back there quick. I had to make moves. Because I only had like 30 minutes. Because I knew the Salido and Martinez fight was going the distance. So I was like, I'm going to go back here. Do what I got to do. Hey, at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, I was back there for a hot second. That's when I caught Denzel Washington looking like an old, dirty grandfather.
Like, no love for the co-host right now. You ain't bringing back a slider, a cheeseburger.
Man, I was in a hurry, man.
I taking order, nothing.
I had things to do.
Bring me a plate. I ain't never going to barbecue with you. I can't get a plate.
All right, so enough about me and my experiences, because there's people out here listening. It's like, I don't care what Andres has to say. Let's talk about fight weekend. But, Kel, I want to ask you off the top, from the last show that we did on Tuesday when we rolled into fight week, did it ever feel like a big fight to you?
No, it didn't feel like a big fight. Not a lot of people were here, as you would say. Not too much urban loitering.
No urban loitering.
The women weren't as scantily clad as in years past. We didn't see too many women of the night walking through the casinos, and that's when you know it's down.
That's how I gauge my Mayweather fights. People think this is silly.
No, that's the real deal.
If you go to a Mayweather fight, you gauge the level of urban loitering and prostitution. If there are significant amounts of both, because we were down like 60% from, not the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, because that was like,
that was next level.
Yeah, that was 190%.
I saw an 80-year-old dude, blonde guy, comb over, and he had two chicks on his arms that looked like the Funkadactyls.
Damn.
The Funkadelic chicks. Like, they looked like that. Like, just booty, just bow. Just tight dress. All it. He's like 80, just crazy smile. Never took his shades off.
Yo.
That's Mayweather Pacquiao. We'll never see that again.
No, we won't see that again. Like, Mayweather fights are gauged by the urban loitering. This year, this fight, we were about like about 30%. Because you know what I'm talking about by urban loitering. There's a certain group of individuals that show up at Mayweather fights. You know they don't have tickets.
No tickets at all. They ain't there for that.
No. Nah, and they're just sitting at slot machines, not playing, and looking for chicks. And then it's like you also grade the quality of women that are at the fight.
Yeah, I mean, there were some all right ones here this time, but the age demographic with the women changed. Yeah, I didn't see the 20 through 25 Instagram model.
Nah.
They were there the weekend before.
Right. It was like people, it was an affordable fight to trick off at.
It
right?
was like 30, 36, where you're past your prime, but still holding on. It was a retirement fight for everybody.
Yeah.
It was Mayweather's retirement fight, and it was the old thoughts retirement. This is like the last hurrah. Yeah. Like, you could bring her out and just be like, yo, there's not too many people here. I can give you one more go at this because Canelo Cotto, I need to bring out the young, fresh one.
Yeah, go make a run at this. Go make a run. Your baby's crying at home. Baby's crying.
They're bringing out all the Puerto Rican sexy ones from the Heights and NY.
Yeah, it's going to be
for the Cotto fight.
So, yeah, I mean, the fight week itself, it was very a somber fight week. You know, it was hard to figure out, like, is there a fight? Like, I remember being in the lobby and looking around, and I was like, it's fight week? There was more people at the last UFC that we just went
to. Yeah, Mighty Mouse, Dodson. There was way more people. But then again, that was a holiday weekend.
True.
So we had the holiday. Everyone was in town for that. Like I said, it was more of that young crowd, partying crowd for that. And it just happened to trickle into the UFC joint because there were tickets to buy for the UFC one. So people were here anyway. They were like, cool, let me just check that out anyway. So the crowd was a little bit better for that one. This fight was just like, but Floyd wanted to make it that. He announced that he was retiring beforehand.
Right.
He picked an easy opponent to retire with. Everything was just like, this is the come down after the huge Pacquiao fight. And everyone else treated it that way. If he would have built it up, if he would have chose a better opponent, if he would have just kept it under wraps that he was retiring, and this was the setup for 50, I think it could have went a lot differently.
True.
But he leaked it, and it killed the buzz.
Okay, so there's a couple things I want to talk about heading into this week, because there was a lot of controversy. Of course, we had the Mayweather-USADA scandal that popped up. We also had the Jen Welter thing when he invited Jen Welter out and how social media went nuts over him inviting her, which we'll talk about. But I also want to talk about this fight. I was spending some time with the gym with Floyd a couple weeks prior to, as a few of us media there. And then the day that Mayweather and Berto both arrived, there was a weird air that was going on. Berto kept alluding to that there was a girl or something.
Like, and personal history.
He wouldn't say who it was, right? If you ask Floyd, Floyd would just be like, I don't know what Berto's talking about. So I did some research, and in June, right before the Broner Porter media day that we went to, when Floyd first said he was going to fight Berto, as a joke that we thought, there was a story that came out that Berto said that Floyd Mayweather's pranking his phone because of Nelly and Chantel Jackson, because Berto's good friends with Nelly. So there's some history here. Furthermore,
Floyd need to let that go. Like, he has way too many women to still be hung up on that. Like, come on, Floyd.
He, at the end of the day, he is petty Mayweather. He is petty. Floyd is petty. So it made me think about this a little bit. Why did he choose Berto? He wanted to embarrass him on a national stage. He was getting his check regardless. That $30 million was coming whether you fought Amir Khan, Chris Algieri, or whoever. It didn't matter. So he selected Berto, somebody he has history with, somebody that clearly thinks that there's something going on because they know the same people. Berto and Floyd have been around each other for years. Floyd will never act like there's been any history with them. So I really think he selected Berto just to embarrass him on a national stage.
That's dirty, though. I mean, Berto didn't take his chick. Nelly took his chick. Like, well, you got beef with the wrong person.
I think there is something else there. They know, like, Berto was saying, which was interesting, Berto said he knew that he was getting the fight right after the Pacquiao fight. How would he know that? Somebody asked him. He said, somebody from Floyd's house came through while I was at the hospital after my, like, in between surgery, said, Mayweather wants you next. It's too close. And for Floyd,
unless Berto's the middleman.
He could be.
Is he funneling the old Floyd girls?
He could be.
To Nelly, to himself? That's what I heard, like, before the fight, too. Like, Berto was like, oh, I have my own girls, and they've been through Floyd's thing. Like, so when Floyd drops them, Berto's the next guy?
Yeah, like, it's the mole? It's a drop-off. Like, that's a crazy drop-off.
I mean, you got to stay around in the loop. I mean, it's better than going to one of the TMT sweatsuit people, the nameless people. There's like 80 of them, like, yeah, just to be around.
But so the other thing that made me think that it was really personal was the fact that Floyd Mayweather, knowing this fight wasn't selling, he never used the angle to market something. Mayweather's always finding something to sell.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't sell this fight at all. He never saw that there was conflict between him and Berto, which makes me think Petty Mayweather was just out here to prove a point. And he was like, I got one fight left, making $30 million. I'm going to throw you four to show you what it looked like, and I'm going to just beat your ass and make you go home a loser. That's my thoughts.
I mean, I'll take it. You're going to throw me four to embarrass me? Yo, listen, I'll take every single one of his girls if that's the case.
That's like, what I'm
just throw me. So wait, Berto took his girl, gave it to one of his peoples, and then that led to him getting the biggest fight of his career and $4 million?
Not bad.
Not a bad way to go right there.
And I mean, look.
That's Wingman of the Year award.
Right. Like, Nelly should be. If this is all true, this is all pure speculation just based off of the research I did. If this is all true, like, Berto, you won. Because it's not even like you're fighting Mike Tyson. It's not like you're going to lose your life in the ring.
Nah, your eyes get a little swollen.
Yeah, and you go home. $4 million richer. You know what I would, like, $4 million, you know what I would go home without? Teeth. I don't need my teeth. I'll just get some new teeth.
Yeah, I get fake teeth.
Yeah. I have the best smile ever.
Hell yeah. Look like a shark if I want to. It's $4 million. I get whatever teeth I want.
So Berto won. Floyd did what he wanted to do. Berto won. So let's talk about this USADA report. This Floyd Mayweather using an illegal, quote-unquote, IV. Thomas Hauser wrote a report at SB Nation saying that Floyd Mayweather was using an illegal IV to rehydrate. And it could have possibly led to some kind of performance-enhancing drug of some sort.
Masking a PED or something.
Yeah, flushing his system. There was a whole timeline. It was a lot of details there. My problem with this story was there was a lot of holes in it. First, Kel, let me get your take, and I'm going to tell you what I thought.
Well, I think it's something. One, the rule is way too new. It's something that people did on the regular for the past decade, two decades in boxing. Like, you cut down weight, and MMA for that matter. Cut down weight, you want to hydrate quickly. Get an IV.
Right.
As long as you don't put any banned substances in your IV, you can put vitamins in an IV. You can replenish other things, electrolytes, whatever it may be, through IV. And, of course, it's going to flush your system. You're putting in fluids. You got to get rid of fluids. But you rehydrate quicker. That's all Floyd was looking to do, in my opinion. He was facing a guy where people said still had pop and power, and you want to be as strong as possible. He did a lot of stuff before that fight that he didn't do before. He was chopping wood. Right. He was doing all that. Strength was a prime concern for him. He brought in a new strength coach. All of these things, one which the strength coach has a history of PEDs and all this shit.
Alex Reason.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. That doesn't look great.
Right.
But strength was a concern for him, so he did this, one, to add more weight than he would usually have going into a fight. A lot of fighters do this. Why he didn't do it before Canelo, which had the same type of concerns, I'll never know. But he wanted it for the Pacquiao fight. It seemed to work. Pacquiao's punches weren't hurting him. And IVs are nothing new to the sport. People just want to grab onto something because it's Floyd. Domestic violence was out of the window. He invited the coach in.
Jen Welter in.
And he tried to squash that. Okay, what else can we get from him then? Let's save this till 2 days before the fight. And let's make this the narrative. And I think that's kind of why he wants to walk away. Because there'll always be something. You can always grab something. I don't think he's tired of boxing. He's tired of stuff like this.
I agree. First of all, like I said, the report, there's a few holes in it. Now, there have been some journalists who have been on top of this, the drug testing thing, who are very credible with what they do. I'm not saying Thomas Hauser is not credible, but I'm saying that there's some holes. Because there was a certain test that he talked about, which is a CIR test, who he says that Floyd didn't take. There's a report that Kevin Ioli put out where he got the results from the CIR test. And it shows the dates that Floyd was tested. And it's in direct conflict to what Hauser's saying. And this is what came out shortly after the Pacquiao fight. Now, when it came to the IV, he got approval and exemption on the spot. It takes 3 weeks to process that paperwork. So he did nothing illegal. Now, Bob Bennett came out and said, he was like, this is a non-issue. We're not going to attack it. Now, don't get me wrong. Boxing is corrupt. Things do happen.
Oh, yeah.
But until we find some proof, because if we're going to sit here and argue, like, we didn't go this hard at Pacquiao for not taking the drug test. We didn't go hard at this Pacquiao, and we didn't really analyze the very unique thing that he did, which was had a knockout ratio increase as he moved up in weight. It's strange.
But he was getting shoulder shots before that fight anyway. What's in that shot? If we really want to say what's in what. What vitamins are in Floyd's IV and what medications are in Pacquiao's shoulder shot to numb your whole shoulder, yet let you throw power punches?
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Because that's not natural.
The thing was is that people were like, oh, well, why couldn't Pacquiao get the shot? Pacquiao got the Toradol shot 3 times before the fight. He just couldn't get it on fight day. So that's not that big of a deal. The IV, if it was approved and the Nevada State Athletic Commission is not taking him to task, it's not a big deal. I don't see why people are continuously trying to find new things to say that Floyd's a cheater when he's just beating everybody. Once you prove it, fine. But until then, like, it's a witch hunt because the timing is very peculiar to do this 2 days before his fight.
They want the clicks. I mean, no different than for Floyd, domestic violence should always be a narrative.
True.
But before the Pacquiao fight, every outlet and their moms wanted to make it the story. People, I'm not going to even watch the fight because he's an abuser of women. He's a domestic violence. All that. Okay, then. Don't watch the fight. Why is it now just a narrative? He's been this since before the Guerrero fight. There's been just crazy whispers about it even before he went to jail.
I mean, dude.
So why now?
It's like the Deadspin report that came out that didn't have really have an agenda. It just kind of popped up. It's all public record. Floyd's indiscretions with domestic violence with women, it's all public record. And it's been there for years. Ever since Raw was open at the Luxor, like in the early 2000s. This is a long time ago. This is not a new narrative. Like, I'm not a Floyd apologist. People who listen to the show know that I am critical of Floyd as well. I think he's very well one of the best fighters that we've ever seen, but there are criticisms that I have against him.
He's a flawed person, great fighter.
Yeah, he's terribly flawed. You know, he may not be my cup of tea as an individual. You know, we don't hang out. Like, I'm not his cheerleader. But I can smell a witch hunt when I see one. And there's certain things that it's like, all right, you want to be critical about who he fought? Fine, go for it, right? Like, not everything is his fault. Fights that he didn't fight, I don't care. They're not all his fault. You don't like him? Fine. You don't like domestic violence? Point at that. Say, I'm not messing with him because he beats women. I am totally fine with that. But to use it as this you know, agenda to go up against everything that he does, it's like, come on, man, just leave it alone. They did, like, I don't want to compare the two because they're two completely different people, but they did the same thing to Ali. Ali for everything.
Floyd Mayweather didn't go to war. He's a coward. Yeah. All this stuff. He's a traitor against the country. And I tell people that about Floyd. People are like, Floyd said he's the best ever, and oh, no one's going to believe that, and all this stuff. Ali at that time was highly criticized. No one would guess 40 years from then he'd have a movie, he'd be considered the best ever, that no one would even mention Cassius Clay anymore.
Right.
That Muhammad Ali, that name would stick and would become legendary. No one at that time would have told you that. But after 40 years pass, and you have people revisiting history, a lot can change.
True.
And Floyd may be in for the same exact thing. In 40 years, you may look back and those kids and the people who are reporters then, and they can just look back and see footage, not be in the situation, not have all the stuff circling around them, look at him and say, he's the best defensive fighter ever. He's the smartest fighter ever. This guy is top three. We don't know where they're going to put him. Top three, top five, whatever it may be, but it's up to them. It's up to history and legacy, because all the feelings and emotions right now, when we're gone, those are gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about Ali, of course, is there's a, you know, civil rights movement that Ali was behind. So there's always going to... Ali's always going to have the leg up, you know, when it comes Floyd Mayweather as a person. Floyd Mayweather is just, as a person,
isn't.
It's very hard to defend Floyd Mayweather the person. He'll talk about some of the charitable things he does, but yeah, if you got $300 million, oh, you damn right you should be doing some charity. That's a tax write-off, at the very least. You know, there's a lot more things you could do to bring attention to certain things. But as far as a fighter is concerned, as far as what we've seen in the ring, it's hard to deny how good he was. It may not be your style. You know, he's more Tony Gwynn than Mark McGuire.
Yeah, but he's the best at that.
Yes, he's the best at that. He's going to keep you away. He's not going to allow you to hit him. He's going to outbox you. You know, people talk about how great Willie Pep was. And if you watch Willie Pep, he won a round without landing a punch. But Floyd Mayweather is of that same ilk. He's not here to knock you out. He's here to hit and not get hit. So, yeah, as years pass, he'll slowly go up the pound-for-pound list. It's hard for him to crack my top 10 just because he hasn't had the volume of fights. And it's just a different era.
Different time. I mean, he was a champion so young. A lot of people can stack their resumes when you're young. 18 through 24 through 25. Look at Canelo. He has a wildly high volume of fights. And you can do that when you're young. Floyd didn't do that. He jumped right into the title picture, right into trying to get the money, trying to do all this. And it hurt how many fights he could have in the long run. But still, he's undefeated, never been beaten. Can't take that away.
Dog, he never tasted defeat. I mean, 49-0 is impressive, right? Like, to retire undefeated, the length of time is more important to me than the record. 19 years? Like, find another athlete who's been on top of his game for 19 years. Michael Jordan was on the top of his game. When he came back, he was washed as a wizard.
As a wizard. I don't know. He was dropping. I think he scored he was still better. Or something crazy.
He was still better than like 70% of the league when he first came back. But he wasn't the Jordan of old.
No.
Like, Mayweather's been at the top of his game from day one. You know, he's had a couple so nice. He got rocked by Chop Chop Corley. The first Castillo fight, when he hurt his shoulder, you can debate that he lost. There's people that argue that De La Hoya beat him, which I think is crazy. I've always thought De La Hoya did not beat him. He's always found a way to win. The guy finds a way to win. When we remember Floyd Mayweather, I will remember him as one of the greatest ring technicians of all time.
So do you think this is it?
Yes.
I agree. I think he's serious about walking away.
What is there to fight for? Like, everything. All right.
Money. That's the only thing that's left. Money. They'd have to throw 400,000 at him. I mean, 400 million at least, right? Like, 400 mil, 500 mil. Something
ridiculous.
Like, stupid money.
But who's he going to fight?
I mean, only thing that justifies that is a Pacquiao healthy rematch.
And even that is
And Amir Khan wants Pacquiao. If for some reason Pacquiao can knock out Amir Khan, and then you say next summer or next fall, like this time, next September, Pacquiao, Mayweather rematch, Pacquiao's back, he's healthy, let's go. You could sell that, I guess. Pacquiao would have a knockout, he's coming back, and Pacquiao's last fight, Mayweather's last come out of retirement, last one for both of you guys, last time we'll see them, let's go again. You can give him 400 mil, 500 mil.
It's crazy.
And then what? So you're just like, man, I got 800 mil in the bank, but it's 500 mil at one shot. Do I come back? Like, that's the only thing that could change his mind, but I honestly don't think he's thinking about that right now. He's ready to walk away. His family's really most important thing to him, having, you know, proper brain function and movements in his body and everything. He's seen, if anything, he's always been a historian of the game. He's always been knowledgeable about boxing. And he knows people's records. He knows people's styles. He knows the greatest ever and how they box. He also knows what they looked like after they were done.
Yeah.
His father is a prime example. His uncle is a prime example. He has people really close to him who took a lot of punches to the head, did a lot of, you know, drugs kind of. But it is what it is. But he sees fighters 20 years after. He sees when their bodies ache every morning.
Right.
He sees when they forget stuff. He knows all of this, and that's what you can't take away from. So he knows, like, man, I don't want to be that.
Yeah, you know, listening to him at the post-fight press conference, which he talked for 45 minutes. Floyd's never just sat around and talked for 45 minutes. Brought his family up there, brought his kids up, had one of his baby mothers up there. He had, you know, I was watching his uncle who was to the right of me. He never really got up to the stage because he couldn't really move. He had to be helped when he walked around. And I don't think people realize that when Floyd sees that, he really is like, I don't want to do this anymore. I have, you know, between $700 and $900 million in the bank. I don't need to do this anymore. I need to watch my uncle. I don't need to put my uncle, because his uncle still holds mitts for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, his uncle still wants to hold mitts for him. Floyd Sr. is like, you know, he's a little off. I mean, you want to just, it's just a little off. Floyd doesn't want to do this anymore. When you watch how weary he is of all this, and then plus the negative press that he gets around it, whoever he fights, it doesn't matter. Who cares if he walks away? People are like, he can't walk away. It's 50-0. Well, if it's 50-0, then it's going to be 51-0. All we want is more opportunities to see him lose. And if I'm Floyd Mayweather, I'm throwing up the two middle fingers, jumping in my Scrooge McDuck vault full of cash.
Nick Diaz style.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a minute. And I'm out. I am out. I don't need this anymore. I don't need it. For what?
So who's next? That's the last question we got. Who's next? I mean, you have to have pay-per-views, right?
You don't have to. The pay-per-view model is getting old and dated.
I mean, we got PBC. We see how well stuff works on television. It seems like Heyman has that well of money just in his back pocket where he's still paying people ridiculous amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the same thing. It's not... unheard of, I guess. Guys are getting paid $1.5 million to be on network television, to pay someone $2.5 or $3 million, just like Birdo just got, around $4 million for him. But if, even if you pay someone $3 million and put them on network television, same thing. Who cares where they fight? But pay-per-view still has like that marquee, that status. Seeing your name up in the lights, MGM Grand, whatever pay-per-view, Canelo has it. I still think it's something these boxers want, just ego-wise.
Yeah, it's just hard to sell. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to sell. Like, I'm very interested in seeing how Cotto and Canelo does. And that's for a number of reasons. Cotto doesn't do interviews. Canelo doesn't speak English. It's hard to sell this fight to casual fans.
Triple G is doing quite well, though.
Well, he'll do well. He'll sell out the Garden, but let's see the pay-per-views. Will he do over 250,000 pay-per-views? That's the barometer. Because now you're limiting your audience. Like, if I'm doing pay-per-views and a number of people can't watch me fight, well, then what am I really gaining here? Floyd Mayweather was he exposed himself. He was brilliant, the mastermind of everything. He used De La Hoya. He used him like a pawn.
Yeah.
Created a villain. Made you want to pay to see him lose. Biggest draw ever. Pacquiao was doing phenomenal things that nobody ever saw. He was the Batman to Floyd Mayweather's Joker. Like, those things all work. But now, it's like Canelo, if he didn't have the Mexican fan base, he's not selling pay-per-views.
True.
You know, Golovkin has this thing. He has an aura about him. So people are going to pay to see him. But how much are they going to pay to watch him fight David Lemieux? Are they going to pay, are more than 150,000, 200,000 people going to pay to watch him beat up David Lemieux? Because that's what's going to happen. And the only reason that I'm really interested is because Chocolatito's on the card. Roman Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Who is probably the best pound-for-pound fighter we have right now.
Damn, that's close. I mean, he's one of the most exciting.
He's
you don't get that.
Yeah.
You don't get that style at that weight very often.
So when we talk about who's next, and I guess that's our pound-for-pound list.
Yeah, I mean, might as well get into it.
Yeah. You first.
Five fighters take Floyd's spot. Oh, man, 5-1. Five was tough for me. I'll put Chocolatito at five. And that was tough. I didn't feel like Errol Spence was there. Mm-hmm. So I left him off the list. I got to see more Errol Spence. I know he's your boy. I just have to see more of him to even think of him in the realm of a pay-per-view person. So Chocolatito could be five. He can just demolish people at his weight class.
Yeah.
Four, Deontay Wilder. I mean, big, tall, strong American heavyweight. If Klitschko bounces before he can fight Klitschko, he's golden. Because okay. He can't take the L, it's fine. He'll beat everyone else. And then three, Triple G. Even though Triple G is a little older, I struggled with him at three because his window was closing quicker.
Right.
But Triple G, two, Canelo. Canelo's still young enough. He already is a pay-per-view name. He can be in that De La Hoya stratosphere.
Right.
He can, if he learns English or just markets himself to the American crowd, because he got the look. Girls think he's like a pretty boy, like redhead guy. Like, he does a little comb over joint. He can do it. If he just plays to the crowd, he can be that next superstar. And Keith Thurman, number one. Keith got the mouth. Mouth, knockout power, pay-per-view star. That's it.
All right. Well, my number one is Canelo. It's just because of the Latin fan base. More than anything else, the Latin fan base. I swear to you, this band learns English and does a Taco Bell commercial. I'm sorry. Didn't have to be a Taco Bell commercial.
Can we at least get El Pollo Loco? Like,
it don't even have to be a Mexican commercial. It could be a Burger King commercial. Whatever Canelo does, he has a look. He could do it, be an extra in a movie. He could, because he can't walk on to the
Fast and Furious 13.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right now, Canelo cannot walk on to the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He can't do it because he can't speak English. The moment he can do that, game changer. He's got to learn English.
And right now, that's why I put Keith Thurman over him, because all you think Keith Thurman has to do is beat him.
Yeah,
no different than Mayweather and De La Hoya.
He's going to get beat, though. And that's why he's not even on my list. Keith is not on my list. He's not on my list. But I'll go further. So Canelo is number one because of all the things I just mentioned. And then once he learns English, it's over. Right now, Triple G is number two because there is an aura about him that people just
gravitate. I hope Royce is listening. I hope Glasses is listening.
Man, they can all listen. But no, like, he's doing pay-per-views. He's knocking people out. He's exciting to watch. It doesn't matter who he fights right now. If he gets in there with a Ward, that becomes tough. But I think Ward's going up to 175. Ward also said that Triple D ducked him at the Mayweather fight, which I thought was interesting. He said he has an email where he offered 50-50, and Triple G's people said no. Curious about this. I need to do
well, it shouldn't be 50-50. But
no, it shouldn't. Continue. But, you know, we'll see. I'll see. So Triple G's number two. Number three is Chocolatito, but not because of anything with marketability, just because of the fighter that he is. I think he's going to be one of those guys that people are going to watch. But it's hard because, like Demetrius Johnson in the UFC, the little guys don't get any love.
Yeah. I mean, how high can he really gain?
Yeah, I don't see him moving up that much.
130s might be his ceiling.
So, like, Chocolatito's 3 just by default because I think he's one of the best out there. Terrence Crawford is number 4 for me.
Terrence was almost there. I feel like he's a little, I don't know, bland right now.
He is bland. Something's going to have to change with Terrence Crawford in terms of personality.
Very Andre Ward.
Yeah. I can't put Andre Ward on my list either because
he's bland.
Not only
staring
that,
at chalkboard.
He's on the, you know, he's with Roc Nation and it doesn't line him up for the best fights out there. And I have Spence at number 5. And the reason why I have Spence at number 5 is there is the story of Errol Spence. It's more like
legend of Errol Spence.
It's crazy because if you watch the PBC card on Friday night where Spence just kind of just ran through his opponent, they kept alluding to, I heard you gave Broner the blues in the gym. I heard about the, like, it's become like this chatter that nobody can avoid. So everybody starts asking, who's Errol Spence? Who's Errol Spence? And then you watch him and then he's like as good as advertised. So I think it's going to take some time. Errol Spence has got a way to go to be like a big draw, but I think Errol Spence has got the goods.
You got to knock out Broner then.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Chocolatito, I got to move everybody down. Kovalev is at number 3. Sergey Kovalev is at number 3 right now. Kovalev, first of all, Kovalev can crack.
He's running out of opponents, though.
He still got Adonis Stevenson. He still has Andre Ward. Those are the only two people you need right now.
Look me in the face and tell me that Stevenson is going to fight him.
It's going to have to happen.
Stevenson's 39 years old right now. Look me in the face.
He's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen. No, I get it. He's been avoiding Kovalev
like the plague.
Yeah, like worse than the plague. Like the clap. Like crabs. Like he doesn't want any part of Kovalev, but he's going to have to fight him. The sanctioned bodies are going to sit there and go, "You know what, dude? You can't keep running away from him. You have to fight him and go get killed." And then retire. Stevenson won this weekend against another bum. I don't have Deontay Wilder on my list too because I think Deontay Wilder is going to end up having to fight Klitschko and he's probably going to lose.
Yeah, that's rough.
Cause,
but it's still, he's young enough. He could be the next guy. Klitschko's gone. Like, he got Hayden Panettiere at the crib. He ain't staying around much longer.
Well,
he ain't taking blows to the face after that.
He said today, he had a conference call today, and he said, you know, as long as I got my health and motivation, I'm still motivated. You know, I'm fighting Tyson Fury. You know, if Deontay Wilder wants a piece, I'll fight him too. They sparred together.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, they have a history.
So I really see, like, Klitschko is going to give anybody in the heavyweight division a hard time. You know, he's the most dominant athlete with the longest tenure of dominance now that Floyd's gone. Nobody's been as dominant as Klitschko. Klitschko's been dominant for a decade. Ever since he lost to Lehman Brewster in 2004, nobody had been able to, like, pinch him, much less fight him. So that's so, like, yeah, I've got Kovalev on there. Spence just barely falls off the list. Terrence Crawford, Chocolatito, and, you know, whatever. Keith Thurman, I think if Keith Thurman takes this fight with Sean Porter, I think Keith is going to lose.
Damn. We need to get Sean back on the show.
Yeah, we got to get Sean on. And that's not just because I know Sean and Kenny. It's because there's this thing about guys, fighters who have dog in them, like Sean Porter, who's just going to keep coming at you. And I'm just really concerned with Keith getting hit all the time. Him getting hit against Collazo and him getting hit the way he did against Robert Guerrero and got swole up like he did really concerns me.
Yeah, against someone who actually has some pop.
Right, who is a super middleweight. Everybody forgets this. Sean Porter fought at 168. That kid's a little football player. It's different.
It's a difference. It's a difference.
You know who's off this list, who could have been on this list but ruined his career? Adrian Broner.
Oh, yeah. Adrian Broner, he still was almost number 5 to me. Just because the way he talks can sell pay-per-views.
Yeah, but now he just sucks.
But then they just put him on there and get his ass whooped. Well, give him a couple cupcakes, 2 fights in a row, have a pay-per-view, get your ass whooped. Cupcakes, 2 fights in a row, go to a pay-per-view, get your ass whooped.
But what he's slowly figuring out now is, like, it only matters when you win. Floyd was able to talk that trash and slander everybody as long as he won. Broner loses, nobody cares.
But now his talent level isn't so par with the other top people in the division. Like, he's going to keep losing.
He got ran over by Sean Porter. Like, who's he going to fight? Terrence
Crawford.
At 140. Terrence Crawford will kill Adrian Broner.
Everyone besides Terrence Crawford. Like, just run through the rest of 140 and hope Crawford moves up to 147.
But, dude, who's he going to fight? Lucas Matisse? Matisse will kill him. Ruslan Provodnikov will kill Adrian Broner.
It's last time Provodnikov fought at 140.
He just fought at 140 against Matisse.
He did?
Yes.
Jesus. His hands are way too heavy for 140.
He'll fight at 140. And so Broner's,
he's got to learn how to outbox people.
He's crazy. He's not even fun to watch anymore. About billions. He's still talking, man. Bye, Adrian.
Before we get out of here, though, and go to a quick break, we got to talk about my boy because we're talking about Klitschko having Hayden Panettiere at home and mm-hmm. guys just out kicking their coverage with super sexy women. My boy French Montana locked it up.
It's not Lathan.
She's so sexy.
How did this happen?
Is she 50 yet?
Nah. Hell nah. She's still in her 30s.
She's not in her 30s.
Dog, she's in her 30s.
Yo, we're going to Google this. She can't be in her 30s. But she is so sexy. So sexy.
She might be in her early 40s, but I'm pretty sure.
That's not a bad move for French.
Oh, okay. She's 44. Damn.
See?
2015. Damn,
well, some of those movies were a while ago.
You're right. Brown Sugar and all that. I'm sorry.
She still got it, though.
Woo.
And the old ladies, the mature women are the wave right now. I'm not mad at it. Hey. Hallie still look good. She bash it crazy, but she still look good.
Yeah, man.
J-Lo's looking great. She's a man eater, though. Can't mess with her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're young like French, you got to give one of these cougars a throw. Why not?
How, Sway? Like, how did French Montana?
Okay, so going from Chloe to her is an upgrade.
Is it?
It has to be an upgrade.
I mean, okay, no. Don't get me wrong. In the looks department, absolutely. Like, Sinan Lathan is a natural, beautiful black woman. She's gorgeous. Khloe Kardashian is a made-up Armenian chick that came from, I don't know, somebody's doctor's office.
Correct.
Big difference. But Sinan Lathan's 44. She's an actress. I don't see this lasting. This is, like, another thing that's, like, women in their 40s should be dating to be married. French Montana doesn't strike me as the man who's going to get married.
No. You date in your 30s to be married if you're a woman. In your 40s, you're dating for a whole nother reason that I won't mention so I can keep this a PG-13 podcast.
Oh, my God.
But she's on her, how she got her groove bag joint. Like, French ain't for that. You don't date someone 10 years younger than you so you can marry them.
You know who got ruined? Vivica Fox by 50 Cent.
Oh, Vivica Fox. She ain't never bounced back.
No, her face hasn't bounced back. I don't know what she did, the plastic surgery to her face.
You know who broke my heart?
Who?
And this is going to be weird. And it's mostly because of her mouth. Stacey Dash.
Ugh.
God, that Kanye video.
I mean, Stacey Dash, like, you talking about Kanye. I'm like clueless. Like,
clueless. Yeah.
Like, Stacey. What? Like, Stacey Dash, period. And then she opened her mouth, and I was like, you are the ugliest bra on the planet.
She just ruined everything for me. Like, damn, Stacey.
Not only are you a Republican, but then you're stupid. Like, you're Sarah Palin level. Like, you're...
She's the worst. Ugh. Oh, man. Topanga still got it. Topanga will always be bae.
Yeah, well...
Sorry, Sasha, if you're listening. You got it now, Sasha. We're good, but Topanga...
There's
some of these, like, chicks from the 90s who just... They never go away.
Nia Long, right? Like, Nia Long... Nia Long. Like, she that was sexy. Like, yo, Love Jones? Friday? I was like, yo, I gotta have that.
Yo, I know Jada and Will be on some weird shit, but I'd give Jada a throw.
Jada did something, too. She looks weird in the face now, too.
Does she?
Yeah.
Her body was always just super sexy.
Yeah. Me.
And no, don't say, well, she's muscular and Serena's muscular. Why don't you like Serena? It's two different damn things. I'm just talking to the listeners now. Like, I don't want to be bombarded in my Twitter. She's like... Fit thick. She's like tiny, like skinny thick. Like,
yeah, I mean, she's Jada, like super small, like fragile, yeah. But with muscles. Like,
go down dirty shame.
See, I never
was
see,
my joint.
I've never thought Jada Pinkett was like that hot.
Oh man,
never. Jada I was a Lauryn so Hill type of dude. Like Lauryn Hill, yes.
Like
sister act. Sister act. Lauryn Hill,
yes.
Not clown makeup Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
No. Like, when Lauryn Hill got with the
even
the
during,
Barbie,
like, the album, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, see, I
Miss
was...
Education Lauryn Hill, I was like, yeah.
I used to be infatuated with Lauryn Hill. Nia Long, Lauryn Hill, like... So, anyway, we just ran off on a tangent about older women.
This is what I'm wanting to talk about right now. The older women need to get some play.
See, I've just not understood how they all end up single.
Shout out to all our fans who are over 40. Female and listening to the podcast. We appreciate you.
Kel wants to take you all down.
Listen, I don't know if I'm in your age bracket. I don't have anything against older women. I like older women. You guys are mature. But me being 27, 40 is a little bit out of my range. 44 is a little bit out of my range.
J-Lo came.
Unless you're, J-Lo loves them young. J-Lo's different. But she'll just tear my soul apart. Like, I'll never be the same. She'll give me some fame and then I'll be out. It wouldn't be good for my career. Like, nah, J-Lo, I couldn't do the J-Lo wave. But 35, 36, that's my bracket right there. 10 years older, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, how old is, damn, who else is out there?
Yo, there's some, how I mean, in that range.
Megan Good's like my age.
Gabrielle Union is still.
Gabrielle Union's like 42?
No, she's way past 42.
Get out of here.
She's like 46.
Wow.
She got to be up there. Yo, she is still just A1. A1 Gabby. And D-Wade, this just proves anyone can be cheated on, by the way. Listen, D-Wade got Gabby Union. Went, had a baby. A baby.
She's 42.
And then came back. And she took him back. That's my type of girl. Jesus. It's all forgiven. Nothing wrong with that. Shout out to D-Wade, man. You're living a dream.
Yeah, he's winning.
D-Wade and whoever that young dude is who wifed up Shaq's old lady.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest men in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's riding horses and shit with Shaq's money.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I still, like, this French Montana Sanaa Lathan thing is going to mess with me for a while. I just can't picture Sanaa sitting with French, and French is, like, playing her a song, and she's like, that's hot.
And, like, five Versace scarves.
Yeah.
I don't know. He elevated the level of everyone from the Bronx today, and I'm happy about this. We're hot right now. We're in demand. Like, but now he showed us the way. Like, think outside of the box. This is the level you can be on when you're from the Bronx.
So
he ain't get nothing like that in Castle Hill.
So here's a question. Has French Montana turned into the upgraded version, the better version of Tiger? Music career is like, who cares? It's all about who he's dating and his rest of his life.
I still like French's music.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't come out as frequently as necessary. Out? But French is all right musically. I mean, really? French is still the same French that was with Max B and everything. French has never changed musically.
I was never a fan of French ever. But
I mean, Max B had a good run. Everybody well, and NY was
yeah.
So French is still French. So his music's gonna be the same, just like Tyga. His music is the same. If you didn't like Tyga from day one, you're not gonna like him now. But the sexier the women get around him, you gotta applaud the man. That's the true test of your career. If you're a single man, it is now how many women you can pull and the quality of those women.
How long can it last? Like, you know,
George Clooney's still riding the wave.
Well, no, George Clooney's different. Like, George Clooney was a phenomenal actor, too. Like, there's nothing phenomenal about French Montana's craft, nor is it the same thing with Tiger. So once Sanaa, they part ways, because 50 Cent was riding high when he was with Vivica. So he could trash Vivica. That's all he did. He ruined her.
Yeah.
French can't ruin Sanaa Lathan. You know, like, Sanaa Lathan has the number one movie right now.
He could ruin her.
I don't think so.
I guess. Now, she's bigger than him. But, I mean, I've seen some wild joints. I mean, Lil Wayne has ruined many a woman.
Yes, he has.
I can't even watch ATL anymore. like, I honest to God, I can't. What he did to Lauren London is just unforgivable.
Damn, yeah.
Ugh. Forever Unclean.
Yes, Forever Unclean. Shout out to Ruxin. The league is back this year. But gotta be like my favorite show, Forever Unclean. Urinal cakes.
Yo, you can't even touch her. So when we come back for break, we're talking UFC, Nick Diaz, weed.
Weed.
More craziness.
5 years suspension for smoking weed.
Right now, Wiz Khalifa is just rolling over somewhere.
Dude, like, Miley Cyrus is like, I can go to the VMAs. I can talk about weed at the VMAs.
Smoked weed in the post VMA joint.
Jesus Christ.
And Nick Diaz can't smoke a little weed before a fight. We'll talk about it when we come back.
What up, loudspeaker family? What's up? It's your man Ice-T.
And I'm the co-host Mick Benzo.
And we're here to tell you that if you love podcasts like The Combat Jack Show,
The Tax Season,
The Brilliant Idiots,
Fan Bros, and The Corner,
yeah, then you're definitely going to want to check out our podcast, The Final Level Podcast. The Final Level Podcast is where you're going to get to talk about the latest movies,
games,
TV shows,
and sports,
but delivered from two OGs who give less than zero fucks about how you feel. We don't hold shit back on this podcast.
It's the hardest podcast on earth.
Plus, you'll get deep-ass interviews with my friends from hip-hop, movies, TV, and sports. And we just don't talk to anyone on this podcast. But when I do sit down to chop it up with someone on Final Level,
you can best believe you're going to hear them like you never heard them before.
Ever heard them before. On iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, which is real close to Snitcher, but it ain't. And YouTube. Right here on the Loudspeaker Network. The number one podcast network on earth. Church.
All right, what's up, everybody? We are back from break.
Yeah, tell them what happened on the break with your Facebook.
I had the craziest thing just happen to me. Like, a friend from high school hit me up, and she's like, yo, what's your problem? And I'm like, nothing, LOL. And then she's just like, what is with you posting fuck you under all of my pictures on Facebook? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I check her page, and then she has a post. And from my account, it says fuck you under the post. And then she's just like, LOL, Kel, that's so not funny. And then she messages me. And every comment she makes under this post, I respond, fuck you. But it's not me.
So, sure, it's not you.
So she's like, yo, what are you doing? Like, I didn't do anything to you. Why are you doing this to me? I was like, yo, I'm recording a podcast. Honest to God, it's not me. So she still thinks it's me. She's like, I was just taken aback because it didn't seem like something you would do.
Damn, she's still on it?
Yo, she's still hitting me up about it.
Shorty, chill out. Kel's really, he's recording a podcast right now. He's really not cursing.
Hopefully she
out.
Listens to this podcast and know, like, yo, he's dead serious. But she screenshotted it to me, too. Oh, and then at one point, I sent, like, a little mad dog picture to her, like, shaking a fist.
Yo, you did!
Yo, it's not me, though. I swear, like, someone has hacked my account. I just changed my password and everything. And they just sent little mad dog emojis and fuck you to her over and over and over. And it's just her. It's
screaming.
No one else.
Yo, I'm screaming. This is so hilarious. Yo.
See, I can't even get work done on a podcast.
Social media is the devil.
So I had to change my password. Whoever hacked me out there, thanks.
Yeah. And in the dog picture, I have no idea where you got that from, but that was brilliant.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm starting to wonder.
I need to start logging out of shit. I mean, it's probably like in someone else's computer, and they're just like, oh, let me do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy has nothing to do in life. Let's just start messing with people.
Destroy. Trying to destroy you. And old girl, I feel bad for her because she's like, why?
That's what she was wondering. She was like, what did I do to you? I'm just like, yo, I don't know what you're talking about.
You just kept saying it. They sent her a mad dog.
Yo, it got to the point.
A mad dog?
Where in the message that I'm messaging her, she says that. And it says, fuck you, in the message. And I'm writing the message in my hand. I'm like, yo, it's not me. So whoever's doing this is just genius.
That's brilliant.
Oh, man. So this is how we begin the second segment of the podcast. I love all of our followers. If you guys get a random message from me on Facebook, it's not me. I was hacked by someone with a very small, vulgar vocabulary.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's talk UFC, man. We got to talk about weed, something normal.
Right off the rip, Nick Diaz had his hearing with the Nevada State Athletic Commission and has been fined 33% of his $500,000 purse against Anderson Silva and banned for 5 years for smoking weed.
Weed for 5 years. Let me just start with this. I'm not the expert on weed. I've never smoked a day in my life. Never tried it. Never done anything. But still, it's weed.
It's crazy.
Like, I don't care. I've seen people smoke weed. I've known very productive people who smoke weed. It's weed. Like, cigarettes are legal. Alcohol is legal. Weed? 5 years for weed? Chael Sonnen got 2 years for PEDs.
For something that could really hurt you.
On, like, his third or fourth offense.
Right.
Weed?
Okay.
Come on.
So we have to go in the nitty-gritty of it. On the surface, I didn't feel so bad for Nick Diaz. Before the suspension was handed down, if he was going to get punished, I was like, you know the rules. Why are you smoking weed before a fight? Like, you know they drug test. You got busted for something that you knew you shouldn't be doing. I always have a problem with people who start trying to be activists for things that you know better not to do. Like, if I smoke weed at my job, I'm going to get fired.
Yes.
And I can't get mad because they fired me because I know better than to smoke weed.
True.
But upon closer inspection, there was this thing where they drug tested him 3 times, once right after the fight and 2 times before the fight. And I believe the level that you can't go over is 150 milligrams per ounce of blood or something like that. And the first test he was under. And then the second test he was like 750. And the third test he was under. Which is bizarre.
So you can smoke a little bit of weed is what they're saying.
Basically, when you're out of competition.
You have like a cookie.
Yeah. Well, cookies are potent.
Are
but,
they?
Yes, they are. I've had a brownie or two before. I don't smoke, but I've had a brownie or two and I was stuck.
I've never tried anything.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. I've never been to Amsterdam either.
Really short story. My brother-in-law went to Life is Beautiful Festival last year. And it was his first time going and to see Outkast, which he really didn't care about because he's like 24, and Kanye. And he got a weed cookie as a celebration. He doesn't smoke. He barely started drinking. But he was like, I'm going to go all out and I'm going to have a weed cookie. And he got a whole bunch of weed cookies from his friend. And
0 to 100.
Dude, he was in the bathroom for like 4 hours in a porta potty. I couldn't find him.
And then when I did eventually find him, because I was working, I was doing interviews or whatever, he was sitting like on a sidewalk thing with his face in his hands, looking like he just like cried because somebody killed all of his animals and his best friends. And he was just stuck. He couldn't move.
See, this is why I don't do weed. And, like, and that's was not like, good.
And
like,
I was like, you spent all this money because the festival was like $140 a ticket. You ate a weed cookie and now you can't move? Like, he was stuck. He didn't see anything.
Nothing.
Shout outs to you, brother-in-law. I'm not even going to say your name, but people who know me know who you are.
Damn, don't do it again. One weed cookie.
It was a rap. Rap City. He could do nothing. Motionless. So anyway, back to this the thing with Nick Diaz.
Damn.
So Diaz, so the two of the tests came in and they went to WADA sponsored labs. So the first one and the third one went to the lab that went under. The one that went over never had a B sample and never went to a WADA lab. How do you suspend a guy off of the two drug tests that don't go that do go to the lab and he's clean, and the one that doesn't go to the lab without a B sample is super high?
Shaky to say the least.
Super high, pun intended.
But I mean, it's Nick Diaz. I mean, you've seen the pictures of him. We've seen the middle fingers. We know his reputation.
Dude, I've been out with him.
They can't
at
wait.
Spot.
Yeah, they like, couldn't wait.
They were going to
he
get
is
him.
The bad guy.
But, it, you know, it's just messed up. Like, 5 years being, the, you know, people say, well, he can fight somewhere else. No, he can't because all the commissions follow suit. Once you're suspended in Nevada, you can't fight anywhere.
Unless you fight in Brazil.
But he's got a hell of an appeal on his case.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to appeal this because that it's a shaky drug test. And I forget her name. One of the people on the boards, you know, they recommended a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
She had it out for him.
Anderson Silva was in the same fight and got busted for steroids or PEDs and is going to get a one-year
ban.
5 years for smoking weed?
Retroactive, right? So it already started from that fight.
Yeah,
like, he can fight in January.
But 5 years for weed? Look, smoke weed and fight me. Like, have a weed cookie, be lunching like my brother-in-law did, and then fight me. I'm cool. I'm not complaining. I'll beat your ass.
Yeah, like, you can't be at your tip-top shape while high. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
But you just can't be like...
It's not like cocaine. You get mega strength. Like Tyrone Biggs lifting up cars. You can't really do that.
Shout out John Jones. John Jones.
Yeah. John Jones. Like, I mean, John Jones are coming for you, boy. I always think about Cormier saying that. I can't help it. Yeah. Cormier, he loves Popeyes. There's two things about Cormier I'll never forget. But like John Jones, he was, yeah, cocaine. Like, cocaine's a different...
Hell of a drug.
And you're like impervious to pain. Weed, you're ultra sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know about weed. I feel like it'll slow you down.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of Red Man.
I mean, maybe
it
slows down things like the Matrix so you can see punches. Maybe. Or maybe you just get really lazy and don't want to get off the stool between rounds.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know.
It has to affect, like, the longevity of the fight. Like, either you're going to get really hungry by round three or you're going to want to nap.
Yeah. So, weed aficionados, I don't smoke. Kel doesn't smoke. Let us know. If you smoke weed before a fight, for a 25-minute fight, is it really enhance your performance or not?
Word. I need to know. I mean, there's people who smoke weed every day. Listen, I don't judge you if you smoke weed. We need answers.
Yeah, I just need to know. But 5 years is just a bit harsh. They need to chill. So hopefully.
And that shit's legal some places. Like,
I'm
really?
Saying,
5 years for something that's damn near
I'm sure Nick is not getting a medicinal card. If he got it, he hustled one. But I don't think he needs weed. So
I think he thinks he needs weed.
Of course he does. Most people who smoke weed think they need weed.
Yeah, so he's not addicted to it, but I'm sure it like helps him.
Yeah. So
he seems like a dude who just, you know, just it mellows him out.
I mean,
seems like he's a cool dude. Like, let him have his weed.
He
ain't hurt nobody with the weed.
I'm saying leave Nick alone.
And I can understand, like, okay, Nick, you can only smoke this much before a fight. So it's out of your system. And then you gotta be like a little crazy for like a week because you're without weed, and then you go right back to the weed. That's it. I think he'll be okay with that because we see a lot of athletes in a lot of sports now choose weed over contracts.
Yeah.
NFL, I've drafted like three people who are suspended for 4 weeks on weed. Got a steal in my fantasy draft. Martavis Bryant, I'm talking to you. Thank you because I got you in like the 11th round. You're going to come back and just catch 60-yard bombs because you rather enjoy weed. It's kind of it's weird to me because for millions of dollars, I'll stop doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude.
You put a Miller 2 in front of my face, I'll stop anything. I won't shower.
Yeah.
For $1 million a year.
I'll be the funkiest fighter. They'll call me Funkmaster.
I'll
be like,
care.
Yo, Andreas is coming to the cage smelling like shit.
They told me, yo, you can't shower for 8 years, but you get $3 million a year. That ninth year, I'm going to be smelling fresh as hell.
Yeah.
Like $1 million.
Literally.
Yep. I don't understand it. I'll never understand it.
All right, so moving right along.
Let's get to some real MMA stuff.
This weekend.
Away from the weed.
World Series of Fighting. We have the Gaethje-Palomino match at WSOF 23. If anybody missed the first one, find it. It was a hell of a fight.
Incredible.
The rematch should be just as good. I wish it was in Vegas. We don't get too many World Series of Fighting events in Vegas. We get like one every 6 months or so. But it's a pretty dope card. David Branch is on there, fighting a light heavyweight. Phoenix Jones, the real crime fighter, turned MMA fighter, is also fighting on this card against
Phoenix
Roberto.
Phoenix lost his other fight.
He did. I mean, he's a little weird.
He did all right in that fight, though. But he came out full superhero costume.
I don't know. He's a crime fighter.
Yeah.
He's like a real life hero.
He's not quite Batman, though.
Nah.
No League of Shadows for that guy. Batman would do well inside the cage.
Yeah. But, because he's, we've seen what Batman could do.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, like, this card in itself, I'm going to be watching it this weekend because there's not really much else to watch. We don't have a UFC card for a few weeks until, Cormier? The next one, Cormier?
Cormier. It slowed down. Yeah, it slowed down considerably.
Slowed down. And then we go into December, they try to kill us. Like, 3 nights of fucking MMA fights. Crazy.
I'm not complaining.
But,
David Branch is back, which is cool. David Branch is really good. He's one of my favorite fighters in World Series of Fighting.
Branch, after he had his run in the UFC, he's done well for himself in World Series. He's fighting at light heavyweight, so this should be interesting. But it's all about Palomino and Justin Gaethje. And Gaethje's probably one of the best fighters that's not in the UFC. His first fight with Palomino was great. But I think it's the same result. Justin Gaethje is going to walk away with the victory. Palomino is going to pull on a hell of a show. Might be another Fight of the Year candidate. All I'm saying is it's not pay-per-view. You guys should watch it.
Nah, definitely. And then a friend of the podcast is actually on there as well. And that's D1.
Oh, yes, my man Danny Davis. Fighting Matthew Frinku. He was a Rizzly when he was on the show. Talked about Khabib's little brother. But he's on the card. Shout out to him. I don't know if he's listening, but I hope he gets another victory. He's been rolling as of late. So the card's not bad. It's a World Series of Fighting this week. I'm going to watch David Branch win his light heavyweight fight. And then what else we have? We have Bellator, don't we?
Yes, Bellator card. Light heavyweight tournament. Your favorite.
My least favorite, which I just clearly don't understand this, but... I've seen the guys come out. It's like it's only two fights that night. King Mo, shout out to Mo. Look, it's going to be interesting. Phil Davis. This is a weird card. We got kickboxing and we got MMA, and we got Tito Ortiz in the main event.
Tito, do you think he wins the belt?
No.
I think the fix is in. Who doesn't want to see Tito a champion again?
Not me. I'm okay.
It's been a while since we've seen him on the top.
Yeah, but he's fighting undefeated Liam McGarry, and Tito Ortiz is just not that good.
No, not at all.
I mean, can we take anything from him fighting Stephen Bonner?
He can still beat someone. That's what we can take away.
He can beat me. No, I'm good. Like, it's weird that this is like the main event. Like, I have a problem with these promotions that are trying to compete with the UFC, and they're putting on these strange, they're trying to use names that are just kind of around still, like Tito Ortiz. Like, nobody needs to see Tito Ortiz main event anybody's card. I prefer you use your new talent and let those guys build up their own names, rather than me having to watch Tito Ortiz fight for a title that I don't understand. Josh Thompson's also on the card, though. Freshly left the UFC, he's gone over to Bellator. Of course, we got Phil Davis versus Emmanuel Newton in the first round of this weird tournament, and King Mo versus Linton Vassell in the other first.
I think it sets up well. I think for a King Mo, Phil Davis final.
Yeah, if it goes that route, but if it's Linton Vassell and Emmanuel Newton.
Yeah, then it's kind of a dud.
Whoopsie. But
you do what you can to set it up, though.
Again, it's just there's a lot of fights on this card. Francis Carmont, who used to be in the UFC, is on this card as well.
It's not a bad card. Just really corny at the top because of Tito. How their cards are now, right?
I think it's very problematic when you headline your fights with guys like Tito Ortiz or Kimbo Slice. It's like these guys can't really fight. The quality of the fight is trash. You're just going off of name recognition. Where World Series of Fighting, I kind of like what they're doing. You know, the Paul Harris Jake Shields fight, it wasn't just because there were two UFC guys. They were doing well in World Series of Fighting. Josh Berkman had a good run in World Series of Fighting. You know, Justin Gaethje's headlining because he's probably the best fighter in WSOF right now. But Bellator is just weird like that. Like, this four-man light heavyweight tournament, if they don't get Phil Davis versus King Mo in a WrestleFest final, I don't know what they're going to do.
Ah, that would be ugly. But if they could, for some reason, stand up, we're good.
Ah, we'll see.
That's the key. But, you know, it'll be entertaining. We don't see enough tournaments anymore. You don't like it. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of it.
And it should be a decent card. But this weekend, I'm looking forward to wrestling.
Wait, before we talk about wrestling, we got to talk about Cyborg getting ready to cut to this 140.
Damn, you just ruined my wave.
I know you were going to get... Like,
I was hype.
I know.
My New Day Rocks chant was going.
Yo, we're
going
to talk,
bro. I almost hit the Big E dance.
Yo, we're going to talk about all that. But we got to talk about Cyborg.
She's Cyborg, 140
in the next fight.
November, Invicta, we'll see.
Yeah, that's all I can say is we will see.
We'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. Because I don't know where she's going to cut that extra 5 pounds less. So to 10 pounds for a Ronda fight. Unless Dana whispered in her ear and said, yo, catch weight it is. 140 is it.
I think this is going to be a failed venture. I think she's going to, I think she'll make her 140, right? But she's going to have to fight at 135. I don't think Dana's going to allow her to step into the cage with Ronda Rousey until she has an actual fight at 135. 140 is just not going to do it.
140 is not. I mean, catch weight, no belt on the line, give the people what they want to see. That might be his thinking. Going for the money. That's the big money fight. UFC 200 is a whole different card, no, if you guess that.
Dude, I agree. I just don't. Again, you stand next to Cyborg and you're like, where is this weight going? Like, I got to see her make this 140. She's going to kill herself making 140. More power to her, though. Whatever. All right, let's move on to wrestling.
Wrestling! New. Day Rocks.
Okay.
New.
Day Rocks. First what? Of all.
And it's not get the tables.
Let's start with Raw. And the fact that Raw kicked off with New Day. And it kicked off with New Day and Stephanie dancing, which made it corny. And then Hunter came in and started dancing.
And he killed it.
And it basically tells you how much faith the WWE now has in New Day, which we all buried because we were like, this is a horrible idea.
So stupid. And we're wrong.
The hero of this entire thing, Big E has been great. Don't get me wrong. But Xavier Woods and the trombone.
You love this trombone. All right, so you got to be Xavier Woods for Halloween then. And we'll get you a trombone.
I have to get a perm too.
That's, hey, we'll make it work. Or we get you a wig. But it's fine. We'll get you a wig.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'm sure one of the nice women listening can point us in the direction of a wig place.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then I got the Big E singlet on deck already. The school I coach at, the wrestling coach, lent me a singlet. I'm getting it designed with the New Day logo around the belly
this
and like the little thing.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm Big E'd out. I'm going to grow my hair out so I get the Big E like fade.
Yeah,
I am all in. We are committed. Where's Marcus? Marcus, friend of the podcast,
yeah,
from Yahoo. Tell him to get the Kofi chest ready.
Yeah,
it's all.
We're a Kofi chest. But, dude, we got to talk about how, like, New Day versus Primetime Players kicked off Monday Night Raw.
Good match.
Which was a good match. But the fact that New Day is so over right now. The fact that Xavier Woods was playing the Pink Panther theme outside when they were doing a little sneak attack was amazing. When they did the Kofi kick in the corner and he played the slide on the trombone, the boom, yo. Everything about a New Day is amazing. And the WWE did the smartest thing by getting the Dudleys in there because you need somebody because they're hot. There's just really no, like, primetime players can't keep up with New Day. Nobody can keep up with New Day. It's all about the Dudleys, and the Dudleys are going to put them over at Night of Champions.
That's a bold prediction because I think the Dudleys could take the belts.
But for what reason?
Just so the New Day could win them back.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it yet. I think that they may win it in a tables match. But I think they're going to lose in some screwy way, and then they'll come back, and maybe they'll win. But New Day's just, they're just so over. They're just so
Xavier
good.
Woods getting put through a table.
Yeah, they're going to kill Xavier Woods.
And his trombone.
Yeah, and his trombone.
And everything. It's going through a table.
It's just everything about Xavier Woods right now is great. Just the New Day's, it's just everything. The dancing, like Big E's dancing has become a thing.
What? Kill the Big E dance. I can't wait. Can't wait for Halloween. I don't know what we're doing, but it's going to be recorded, and it's going to be stupid.
As far as the rest of Raw is concerned, it was kind of weird.
Oh, the Bella Charlotte thing.
I'll tell you what. I'm not as mad as I thought it was going to be about how the Twin Magic failed and they got DQ'd and now we have a rematch. Because I guess the WWE has to kind of wipe AJ Lee from the books and use somebody that they've pretty much brought up in Nikki Bella. And for such a heinous act as Twin Magic, and having Charlotte
it's horrible
twin pin Brie, and now she gets a rematch.
But that's what you're going to see every time they talk about the record. You're just going to see that she lost.
Yeah. A DQ match. Yep.
This is how the record sustained. Like, it's just a horrible
It'll get broken again later. Just not right now. But I'm not as mad as, like, I thought I was going to be really pissed off. And I thought about it, and I was like, well, Charlotte and Nikki, okay. Because their match wasn't bad either.
No, Charlotte was really good.
Yeah, Charlotte. But, you know, Nikki's become serviceable as, you know, like.
Correct.
As a heel, she's serviceable in the ring.
It wasn't the Paige Sasha Banks match, see, though. Bay held her own. That German suplex was
well. The German suplex, that Paige gave her. I just have a problem with the match was like I timed. It was like 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
Two divas matches on one Raw is an accomplishment.
Just 5 minutes for these two? You're not giving them any time.
They're way better than that, and they still told a story.
Yeah, they told the story, but like Charlotte told the best story. Charlotte's left arm was hurt, and she didn't use it in the match. Yeah. If you watch the match very closely, like she gets out of like a move, and she never uses her left arm. It's like her ring psychology is great. You know, Sasha's pretty much the best performer in the Divas division. But Charlotte looked damn good.
And I'm tired of Becky not wrestling.
Well, that's a whole nother.
She's just a cheerleader. Like, you just leave her down. Make her champion.
Yeah.
Three may have been too much. Because
They got to break them up. But it's, you see they're, like, planting the seeds of dissent. Like, oh, PCB and Charlotte's not there because she's preparing for a match. And Paige might be jealous. They're planting the seeds. They're almost planting them a little too hard. But I hope they're breaking all these women up.
Yeah, I hope Becky gets a run at somebody because Becky can go.
Yes, Becky can definitely go. Elsewhere on the card, the Ride by Kevin Owens promo was one of the most intriguing things to me because, first of all, Ryback got sunned.
Ryback has like this newfound confidence on the mic. I don't know where it came from. And then Kevin Owens just had to shut that whole shit down.
Kevin Owens, okay, so you have two different guys here. You got one guy who was built in the system, Ryback. He was WWE through and through. It was in Tough Enough, failed at that, came in NXT, and then became Ryback, this mutant monster, Vince McMahon's favorite creation. Kevin Owens is a fat guy who came up through the indies with a ton of talent. So everything about this promo, from the moment that Kevin Owens came out with the secret book, and the way Ryback tried to interrupt him was like, you didn't throw it out the ring, like you messed up. And like Kevin's thinking on his toes, and he throws the book in his face.
Yep.
It's brilliant. Now all we got to do is make sure Kevin Owens beats Ryback at Night of Champions.
Which isn't a guarantee.
It's not, but
They may be using Owens to put Ryback over.
Well, more importantly, I think these two can actually engage in an intriguing program that lasts more than one pay-per-view because they got to give them something to do. Thank God that The Miz and Big Show are out of the picture.
The Big Show went from fighting for the IC title to getting Brock Lesnar and MSG.
Yeah.
The Big Show is like
he's enhancement talent.
It is the worst.
Dude, you put Big Show in there with anybody you want to make look good. Sting got Big Show on the end of Raw.
Yeah.
Everybody gets Big Show. You're like, if you're a new talent, you fight the Big Show to make you look strong because you can lift them up. I don't know why this is not commonplace anymore. Everybody slams the Big Show. Everybody.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I can picture Neville slamming the Big
Show. Yeah. So the whole Owens-Ryback thing just became, it got a lot better to me because I was like, wow, this is actually, it's like the internet wrestler versus like the wrestler that kids like, the big muscular guy. And if Kevin Owens can carry Ryback through a few matches, this could be a very good program for the next few months until Sami Zayn comes back and ruins Kevin Owens' chances at the Royal Rumble and they have a ladder war match at WrestleMania. I'm thinking ahead of myself, way ahead of myself. El Generico's coming back. But until January's
if
Royal
El
Rumble.
El Generico comes back, I am so happy. Now if Sami Zayn comes back, I'm like, like, I don't care. Like, Sami Zayn is good. He's a good wrestler. He's not a great character. Use this injury and milk it for what it's worth and say Sami Zayn is never coming back. Kevin Owens ended his career and bring back El Generico and watch everyone fucking explode.
At the Rumble, you bring him back and you call and Kevin Owens won the final four in the ring and Generico cost Kevin Owens a Rumble. And we all know it's Sami Zayn, but it's El Generico. And then you set it up for 3 months. Since WWE now recognizes the indies, they talk about their friendship all the time.
Yeah.
We go back to these ladder matches, and we have a ladder match at WrestleMania between Sting and Generico.
I'm down. But then Owens. Who does Balor debut against?
Balor doesn't come until the day after Mania.
He has to be at Mania. Nah. That entrance in Dallas Stadium.
He will headline TakeOver, But no, I don't think he's going to be at Mania. I think he debuts on the Raw after Mania. Whoever has the title, that's when he debuts. Because I think we still have to go through a heel turn Balor, too.
Okay. I mean, with a Tommy?
Possible. So I don't know.
Giving up the belt to a Tommy?
We'll talk about NXT in a minute. Because NXT actually...
Oh, yeah. We got a whole NXT thing coming up. So but, it could go a ton of different ways. What else is on the card, though? We didn't even talk about Reigns and Ambrose getting a partner. I don't know who's going to be this partner.
I was racking my brain all I watched Raw this morning.
Dirt sheets don't have it. Nothing.
It's not going to be Randy Orton. Randy Orton's off TV. He's probably banging some chicks. Randy Orton looks like a sleazeball. Yeah. Like he just looks like
Randy Orton fan.
Like a sleazeball. He goes to the bar, has a few drinks, and like just grabs random girls' asses and takes them home in like threesomes.
Oh, yeah, he's go to a bar, no shirt on. He does the pose.
Right. Like he probably does the pose getting hit.
That'd be genius,
though. It would be. It would be like the greatest thing ever. Like just pose.
That is how you finish.
Yeah, he's done. But it won't be Randy Orton. I'm starting to wonder if it might be Cesaro because they have nothing for Cesaro to do at Night of Champions. But then there's like nobody else. Because is there anybody that could possibly return? Like I don't see anybody else that could be worth. I don't know.
I hope it's not Uso.
It won't be an Uso. It shouldn't be an Uso. It better not be an Uso. There's really nobody else.
No, I mean. Someone Bray had beef with, or unless they want to set someone up for the beef with the new Black Sheep dude.
Yeah, but
just get him his own beef on the side.
See, I just don't know who it could be.
I hope it's not Big Show.
It better not be Big Show. I will turn that shit off.
Or Kane coming back.
Ugh. No.
I mean, Kane was injured by them, right? Supposedly, like...
He was injured by...
By the Wyatts.
No, it was Rollins.
By Rollins?
Yeah.
Oh, Rollins did the turn.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I'm looking through it. Like, if it's not Cesaro, then I don't care. I hope it's Cesaro.
Cesaro will be great.
Cesaro is weird because he wrestles these great matches that nobody cares about, and then they, like, don't know what to do with him. Like, between him and Neville, it's like, what are we doing with this?
Oh, situation? Neville has the worst shake out of anyone, though.
Like, what is it? Him and the Lucha Dragons against the Ascension and Stardust?
Now the Ascension and Stardust is, like, this weird
another cosmic team. This is stupid. Like, King Barrett's not on TV anymore. Like, this is stupid.
They just had too much... of an influx of talent and don't know how to use it.
Yeah, they don't know how to capitalize off of this.
They might have to end up splitting Raw and SmackDown again, by the way. To get, like, real interest in both because the roster is going to be too stacked.
Okay, so let's talk about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, as we know, has two title matches. We didn't see him in pretty much any of Raw until the end when he joins in the tag team match. And he ended up tapping out to the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yes.
So conventional wisdom says...
Rollins is winning!
But here's the dilemma. How? Because if he loses to Cena, which I hope he doesn't do, I hope he keeps both the belts. Like, I really want this to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen. If he loses to Cena and Sting beats him and makes Sting look weak, because Cena just had a match with Rollins, which we all know is going to be a great match.
Oh, yeah.
So how can't Sting beat him? Who's going to ruin this?
Well, then, once again, Kane would be the name, right?
Would it be Kane and Sting? Like, who the hell wants to see that?
I mean, it was supposed to be Kane Taker, but that shit went left and the WWE scrambled. But if you bring Kane, like, Fire and Brimstone Kane versus Sting, you get that, like, that darkness play on shit.
Like Sting, like, Kane can only come back with The Undertaker. For me to have any enjoyment out of this. If Kane comes back with The Undertaker and, like, all right, we're going to jump Brock Lesnar, fine. But Kane coming back on his own... Nah,
Kane versus Sting. You need someone mysterious versus Sting.
Like, Sting has to fight.
Oh, unless you try to set up the Sting Triple H slow play.
I don't want
to
see this again.
Slow play.
Like, nobody wants to see
Sting's revenge.
So there's my dilemma with this whole Rollins thing. Like, if Rollins loses to Cena, like, Sting should beat him too. But I don't want to see Rollins lose both of his titles.
No, that'd be horrible.
And it will never make sense if Rollins wins the U.S. title and then loses the World Heavyweight title. That won't make sense either.
I don't know. It could. If he's U.S. champion, right? He beats Cena. And then the Irishman.
Who, Sheamus?
Sheamus cashes in. Jesus. That Money in the Bank got to get used sooner or later.
It's such a
waste.
If
he cashes in and beats Sting. So Sting has Rollins dead to rights. Sheamus cashes in and beats Sting. Because Sting's not fighting frequently enough to carry the belt.
Nah, it's just
so you
weird.
Have Sting win it. Sting's raising up, all this stuff. Ah, Sting's champion. Sheamus cashes in. Boom. Comes in and wins.
And then what? Like, seeing...
Oh, and then tomorrow, Sheamus loses the belt.
To who?
The Monday. He would lose it back to Rollins.
Rollins versus Sheamus?
The authority is like, oh, Rollins got robbed. This is Rollins versus Sheamus, and then you know, Sheamus loses.
They just rarely ever do, like, heel versus heel matches.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's like...
It's just to give up the belt. Unless he gives it to Cena, which I don't
know. This, like I said, this is all kind of weird to me. I want to see how this plays out. I'm interested in Night of Champions, but I'm not interested. Like, I think it could either be decent or it sucks. I don't think it's going to be,
like,
good.
It's not going
to be great? Nah. I just don't think so. Like, the Wyatt family thing is, like, it's not really sticking to me.
You don't like the Strowman dude and, like, his weak...
His weak finish.
Bear hug.
I just don't like this feud. Because it's really not elevating anybody. Even though Roman Reigns cut a good promo, which I thought was kind of believable when he came down, which is like, you know, we're going to have a partner, blah, 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 blah. He was believable. But other than that, I'm just like, all right, can we end this and move on to something else? Like, I need these guys to break up and do something.
Yeah, Ambrose is just kind of
blowing in the wind right now.
Yeah, it's horrible. But we have another champion defending two titles this weekend.
Yes.
Which we got to touch on. ROH, Jay Lethal.
All-Star Extravaganza, he's defending his titles against both members of Red Dragon.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good card. Should be very exciting. Jay Lethal was the original two-title holder this summer.
Yeah,
he did. Rollins swagger jacked him.
Yeah, he totally, like, they just hijacked all of that. The more I think about it, I'm like, wow. And he did it clean.
Clean against a guy who hadn't lost in, what, a year?
Yeah, Briscoe hadn't gotten pinned for 2 years.
2 years.
Not, he didn't get pinned. He's lost, but he hasn't been
pinned. No, but that's like tag team and all that. Briscoe hadn't lost or hadn't been pinned in 2 years, and Lethal went clean over him, and they did it the right way. Now, Lethal's defended each belt, I think, once. Then now, both belts one night against both members of Red Dragon, who I've been said I'm over Red Dragon.
I mean, I like Red Dragon. I like Kyle O'Reilly as a singles competitor.
Okay, singles competitor. I'm done with their tag team.
Bobby Fish, I'm kind of shaky on. I just don't see Lethal losing to either of these guys.
No, I think he wins both.
Yeah. I really think
And Truth Martini, both. I think, like, sets it up and they cheat. But, you know, he wins one clean, one not clean. It is what it is.
So, the card as a whole is actually a good card. It's Friday night. Because we have the ACH and Matt Sydal feud.
That's going to be good. ACH has been...
But we have this four corners match with AJ Styles, Michael Elgin, Adam Cole, and Roderick Strong for the number one contender.
That's one hell of a match.
Like, that in itself... See, my only problem is I need heel Roderick Strong. Like, pro wrestling... Like, please, people, go watch PWG. Pro wrestling. Yes, please watch Roddy Strong as a heel in PWG. He's amazing. As his face, he's okay. As a heel... This dude's like, he's like crazy good. But this match in itself is like, it should steal the show. We have another.
If they give it enough time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they will. You don't bring in AJ Styles for a short match.
But you have two championship matches. I guess you have to kill time in between the two championship matches. I mean, he's not going to fight back to back. Lethal isn't, right?
No. But you also have the another triple threat tag team match with the tag team titles with the Addiction, the Kingdom, and the Young Bucks, which I roll my eyes at because I'm like, come on.
Seen this a million times.
Just do a regular conventional tag team match with these guys and get the Kingdom out of the paint, please.
Oh, God. The Kingdom's bad, too. Like,
they're a comedy, you know, yeah, they're a comedy group.
It's sticked.
Yeah. The Briscoes are fighting a tag team. They're calling somebody out, so we don't know who's going to come back to face the Briscoes.
Oh, that'd be great.
We'll see who it is. Cedric Alexander and Moose are going to, their feud's going to culminate at All-Star Extravaganza. Dalton Castle versus Silas Young.
I saw that.
And I love everything about this match because, you know, it's like...
Your boy.
Yeah, if Dalton Castle loses, he has to give one of his boys to Silas. And then the other way, like, Silas becomes one of Dalton's boys. It's just great. It's a good television. Hopefully everything pans out the right way and everything gets the right amount of time because this will probably be a better event than Night of Champions.
Oh, I think it will be. And we'll be talking about it next week on the show. Like, oh, it just washed the entire WWE card. Before we get out of here, though, we got to talk NXT. And NXT has so many things up in the air. It's such a wild card. And we really haven't focused on it in a while.
No, because the shows have actually kind of sucked the last few weeks.
Yeah,
except
it's been
TakeOver,
weird.
It's been like, okay, whatever.
I did see a good match last week. Samoa Joe and Finn tag team.
Oh, against the Lucha Dragons.
Yes.
That was
good. Good match.
And then when the Muscle Busters coup de grace finish was like, oh, crazy. Like, damn. These great guys combo. Can win a tag team match. And like, these guys should be the champs.
Right? Right. Yeesh. Now. I scary. Believe that.
Yeah.
Nah, they're just great together. They work well together in the ring. Told a great story. I mean, man, you have a champion. You have a guy who should be a champion. So maybe they're setting up that rivalry, and maybe there'll be a turn. But we're going to love it while we have it, because that's like an indie wrestler's dream right there.
Yeah, those two, like, for them to turn, because it seems like it's almost inevitable that they got to, something's got to happen. They fight Big Cass and Enzo next week. We all know Big Cass and Enzo are like super over right now.
Yeah.
By the way, they showed their intro on WWE 2K16.
Amazing.
Yeah. All they got to do is get the crowd to say soft. It's the only thing that's missing from the intro, but whatever. Anyway, somewhere these guys have to feud.
And there's no Carmella.
I don't care.
Oh.
I'm cool.
I like Carmella.
I don't miss her. But the rest of the tag, this tag team term, it was weird. The NXT show from this past week was tag teams and women's matches. And the women's matches were trash.
Well, Eva Maria's trash.
Well, yeah, but she didn't wrestle this week. Carmella wrestled.
Okay.
A chick, I don't know her name. And then Dana Brooke wrestled another chick who I don't know her name.
Yeah, Dana Brooke is, I don't know how I feel about Dana.
I'm trying to figure her out. Like, I feel like she could be a good heel. Like, she's on the verge, but she's not quite
with,
there.
With, like, the stupid little head pat thing?
Yeah.
That's real demeaning.
There's things that she does that are very heelish that I actually enjoy. I just don't know if it's going to translate in the long run. Because it seems like she's going to feud with Bayley. Oh, Sasha Banks and Bayley were announced that they're going to headline the next TakeOver in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Okay, so I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Ryan McKittle.
Big Mac.
And he is very, very against calling this an Iron Man match. He's like, if it's not 60 minutes, it's not an Iron Man match. And I was like, it's women, so it's 30 minutes. He's like, no, it has to be equal opportunity, 60 minutes, make it happen.
You know, I kind of agree with him in that sense because, yeah, like, I don't know. It's like when you play, when WNBA gets a smaller basketball.
Exactly.
So I get it, but it's wrestling. It's not real. I just don't know if these
60 minutes is tough.
I mean, therein lies my problem. 60 minutes for anybody is tough. It's going to be hard to keep my attention. Like, I can't watch Brock Lesnar wrestle for 60 minutes. I just can't see it happening. AJ Styles, different story. Finn Balor, different story. Kevin Owens, different story. Banks versus Bayley for 60 minutes? I get it, but I'll stick with the 30 and I'll take it.
I don't mind the 30 at all.
You know, maybe they could just call
They'll pin each other once each and then it'll come down to the wire. It'll be great.
Call it like most falls in 30 minutes match. I don't really get calling this like the Iron Man match either.
It's not 60. You hear Iron Man, you think Bret versus Shawn.
But all this is to
leave. And it went more than 60.
Yeah, they had overtime.
Overtime, which is crazy.
But all this leads me to say is like, why? I get it. But there, I see this glaring problem. If Sasha Banks has to wrestle at the next TakeOver, that means your women are not coming along in NXT because you got to bring Sasha back to go get the NXT title and basically lose.
Well, they signed the chick from New Japan.
Well, yeah, they brought her in. You got Nia Jax getting ready, Rock's cousin getting ready to debut. So it's like they're buying time.
Yep. Feels Eva Marie may get the push.
Eva Marie, look.
She's the worst wrestler in the world.
When Eva Marie comes out, you look at her and you go, oh, shit, she's got it. Then she wrestles, and you go, oh, shit, get her out of here.
Yeah. We might have to do a pound-for-pound worst wrestlers in the world list next week.
Yo, but it's like she looks great. Like the red hair with the flare robe. Like when she comes out, like I'm like, yo, she's got it. And then I forget. As soon as she does a move, I'm like, yo, you suck.
I hate when she opens her mouth. She can't even, like, talk, really. Can't cut a promo. She can't do anything but look good.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah,
I can't do it. She better just be a star of Total Divas.
Yeah.
But she can be a manager.
So, wait. So, who, like, the rest of the NXT tournament, which I thought was great, Bull Dempsey and
Tyler Breeze started their rivalry.
Yeah, because Ciampa and Johnny Gargano won.
Yeah.
And I was, like, excited.
I didn't expect that, by the way.
Yeah, I thought they were coming in to be, like, enhancement talent. They get ran over, and then, you know, they lose a few matches. But if Ciampa and Gargano can get far in this tournament and, like, get to the end with Balor and Owens? Oh, that's like amazing.
Oh, they're not getting to the end though.
I know. I mean,
I
hope so. I mean, you know, the other real talent I see in NXT is Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yep.
Like that, the world greatest tag team 2.0. I said it last week. So I see them getting far too. I see something funky happening where Balor and Owens don't win. Balor and Owens. Balor and Samoa Joe don't win. And that's where the feud starts. And then I guess it goes into TakeOver because Balor doesn't have an opponent yet for TakeOver, which is next month, right? Is October or November?
Yeah. I don't know if they're on the card. I think
they've only.
No, the tournament concludes at TakeOver.
Well, you know what?
So actually, they'll be in the final.
It makes sense that they'll be in the final and set up the next pay-per-view.
Which is Brit? UK.
Yeah.
UK tour, I think.
So, It makes sense because if Bayley and Sasha Banks are main eventing, it makes sense that Balor and Owens get to the finals. And maybe they do face... No, they don't face Gargano and Ciampa. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know who else they could really face that I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. If Ciampa and Gargano can take over, but it's just like they're so new to get this far.
Yeah.
But
it's a little too early.
But they could establish themselves as the best tag team. Well, the Vaude Villains are still in there too.
Are they in the tournament?
Yeah, they are.
They're the champions.
No, they're not in the tournament. Blake and Murphy in the
Blake
tournament.
And Murphy.
Yeah. And Blake and Murphy not going to win it.
No, and I think it's between them and I think Gable. Gable's going to get the push, I think.
Gable, he's got, like, him and George. Jordan's like, he's got the size, and Gable's got, like, the personality. Like, oh, yeah. they look great together as a tag team.
And if they beat Finn and Samoa Joe for any reason, cool. Then it pushes them into the title picture. It gives them some credibility. And then, you know, Joe and Finn can go on, or you can set it up so... Kenta comes back and he ruins it, and him and Finn go, and you find out he did that or some shit.
Yeah, some shit. All
there's,
NXT,
there's a lot of moving pieces.
NXT just has to bring in some new talent. They have to push some of the new talent.
Apollo Crews is still there. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know if him and Joe get into it soon. He needs.
I don't know. Him and Baron Corbin? Like,
they're feeding everyone Baron Corbin at this point. Yeah. But that's good. Or Rhino. Like, he needs a feud. He just can't be smiling every week. Like, it's time to push him because sooner or later, you're going to push Finn to the main roster.
Yeah.
Joe's going to go up.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Tommy kind of set his clock back, so you'll have him for a second. Zayn is as good as gone when he comes back. I don't even think he touches NXT again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He'll probably come back at the Rumble. And he has to come right into a feud with Owens. There's no way you can bring him back and be like, hey, I'm back, Sami Zayn. Like, no. He comes in, he goes right after Owens, wherever Owens is. Which, like I said, makes sense. The Royal Rumble, because Owens in the Final Four of the Royal Rumble, very believable.
Yeah.
Very believable, and people would pop for it. And if he loses, people will, it'll be mutiny.
As long as it's not him, Big Show, Kane.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he loses, it'll be mutiny. If he loses and it's like John Cena and a bunch of other people. But if El Generico comes out and loses, everybody will be like, whatever. Just like when Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle years ago. As soon as they eliminate
each
other.
But that's why you got to bring, like, El Generico in as one of the last people, if not the last person.
Or he doesn't enter the Rumble at all as a real participant. He comes out from the crowd.
I think you give, like, the pop of just entering El Generico, play the music, and then everyone, ole, ole, and then you just have him run down. And he takes himself and Owens over the road.
That makes sense, too.
Like, and eliminate like himself. It. Fuck it. I'm in it. I don't care. I'm here for Owens. We both go.
I like it. I like it.
So that'd be the way to do it. But NXT's still in that weird state where we got to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
They got so big so fast that now they're like, hey, you're still a developmental league.
Yeah.
But you still got to sell all these shows.
Got to.
So it's weird. But we'll see how everything plays out. And then next week, we'll come back. We will have a guest next week.
Yeah, man. It looks like we're going to have a Moose. I just talked to Moose this morning. He's interested in being on the podcast, so, you know, we'll talk to him right after All-Star Extravaganza.
Yeah, going to try to hunt down some other people. Maybe Primo will be stateside.
Yeah, he's still in Sweden. I know.
I wouldn't leave Sweden either. I'm not going to lie to you.
But we got to have some cast to talk about, you know, boxing and some MMA stuff.
Yeah.
We're in a weird state right now where there's just not a lot going on. So.
Exactly. This is where we get people's random opinions, so it's good that we don't have to preview anything or anything like that. So we're going to get more guests for you guys. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You guys know where you can find us, but I'll say it again. At The Corner LSN on Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram, at Kel Dansby, and Twitter.
At Andreas Hale, the Instagram and Twitter. Hit me up.
Pretty easy. Follow us on iTunes, which is huge. Make sure you guys press the little like star button thing.
Yeah.
Give us a good rating, man.
Yeah, or, you know, give us comments. You know, somebody told me that we sucked. Or
yeah,
this is
I read those comments.
Yeah, like, go ahead. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, let us know what's going on.
Yeah, because we never know. You know, we do this show, and it feels like, you know, it's just us talking. The more people listening, the better.
And I was thinking, I'll say it right now, not next week, but the week after, trying to set up like a fan appreciation show. So I have more details next week. But I want to set it up so you guys hit us up on Twitter. Send us, you know, your names. We DM the winners, probably get 3 fans on, and we'll talk to you guys for an entire show. So we'll have 3 segments. We'll have 3 different fans on of the podcast, and we'll have you guys as our guests.
That is a damn, like, Kel didn't even run this idea. He just blindsided me with it. So if I thought it sucked, I couldn't do it right now because you guys would trash me. But no, this is a really good idea. And I think it'd be great to bring in some of the fans because, you know, you guys tweet us and, you know, talk about everything. And
it's just not enough time.
It's never enough time.
It's not enough time.
Yeah, so we love to have you guys on the show, you know, your fans, just like we're fans. Even though we do this for a living, we love the sports that we cover. So love to have you, talk a little trash with you. And
tell me that I'm right. No goddamn it, Kel fans over here.
Here we go. Couldn't get through the whole show without it.
Can't wait to talk to you guys. Thank you for listening. Until next week, we're out.
Only Kona, birthplace of various dreams. The ending of the beginning, the scariest thing. As we survive here to die here, whatever we sing, we accept it, live with it, the better the scheme. On the corner, the backdrop for hustling, crack rock. Spot where the lack stops and issue the pack sock. It's money on the corner, you be stupid to pass up. Remember it's a code and if it's broken we blast ya. It's Crips on the corner, Bloods on the corner, GDs and Vice Lords. So it's